What's your favorite scary movie?
Welcome to 13 Degrees of Screams,
where we watch and dissect your favorite spooky movies.
I'm your host, Alex.
And Stephanie.
And this is a mostly horror podcast.
This week, we stay in a haunted hotel in The Shining.
So, Stephanie.
Yes.
Have you seen The Shining before? We watched it for the podcast.
No.
No.
Never seen it. I knew the gist. And I felt like I knew all the parts.
Did you know?
I did. I mean, not the lines, but I meant I knew, like, what was going to happen.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. I never really asked this question before, but did it occur how you thought it would? Is what happened in the movie what you thought was going to happen?
Yes. Just a lot slower than I thought it would.
Yeah, it's a long movie. Mm-hmm. 2.5 hours.
Yeah. And I mean, there are several points where I was like, okay, this is going to be the start of the climax right now. Like, you know, the music's getting intense. People are acting crazy. It's got to be it. And then I'd look and I'd be like, oh, 1 more hour. Well, not really.
No, not really. So, question, did you like it?
I did. You? I just wish it was a little shorter.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were going to.
I liked it. I just felt like I had watched it the whole day is all. Like, yeah. I feel like if I was going to watch it again, I'd have to sit down like a big chunk of time to do it.
Yeah. I mean, this is up there with Midsommar. Runtime.
Really? Midsommar seems to go faster.
Also. Yeah. Truth be told, if you like pen to paper, if you put down like what happens in The Shining, it's not that much.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot happens.
It's more visuals than it is really.
And building.
Things happening. Yeah.
The suspense and the isolation and setting the mood.
It's more about like expanding how much time they're really there.
Yeah.
In a sense. So then you feel like you've been there as long.
Yeah. And also, at least I never really got a sense of how many months was in that. You know, what happened?
Right.
It was still in the middle of the winter, which we'll get into when we get to the plot. So you're never really quite sure, like, how long.
Well, I mean, they do those cards, though.
Yeah, they do. But towards the end, it's, like, by day. So then you're like, wait a minute.
Something's happening.
Yeah. But, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I like The Shining. It's this is going to sound weird. It's a childhood movie of mine.
Oh, God. Alex, why didn't they just let you watch Land Before Time and just live in a special time?
I did, but I also watched The Shining. And I will say, okay, so real quick, we'll talk about our rating, which we had it as a 9. Would you agree with that now having seen it?
Yeah, I think so.
I will tell you, the first time I saw that lady in the bathtub, one of those few moments where I was like mortified. I was so scared.
When you were a kid when you first saw it? Yeah. Okay.
Not anymore. Okay. But when I remember seeing it for the first time.
That would mess me up, too.
Also, I shouldn't have probably seen a naked woman. But, you know.
Honestly, too. Like, yeah, you saw full bush and everything. Oh, I'm sorry, it was. Like,
you did. And then when she's all nasty looking. I remember that scared the shit out of me.
The smiling and laughing while her body oozes with sores is not something I'll recall again if I could try.
Yeah, that's probably the scariest moment in that movie for me.
Fair.
And since then, it's not really, you know, that scary anymore. But
I just feel more anxiety around the dad.
Jack Nicholson seemed crazy before they even got to that hotel.
I know. I told Charlie this, too. I was telling him how I'd never watched it before. And I was like, I don't see why we trusted him ever. Like, I had no sympathy for when he started going crazy. No. I was like, he always seemed like a bad dude.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Did Charlie tell you the time we watched it?
He told me something funny that I'm going to try to do to you later.
Oh, okay. I know what it is. I remember.
Thursday, though.
I laughed so hard. It's like one of my favorite movie, like, memories.
Thursday, though.
Yeah, it was a good time. I thought Charlie was going to be more afraid than he was. He found it boring. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like, oh, that was kind of boring. I'm like, that's fair.
I mean, it does last a long time. If you're not invested, it can get long. And that's why I think it was, like, I was invested in what was going to happen, but I also knew going in, too. So I think it was part of it for me. That's why I was like, this is taking a long time.
Yeah. Are you ready to dive into some movie background?
Yeah, for sure.
The Shining is a 1980 horror movie directed by Stanley Kubrick, which he co-wrote with novelist Diane Johnson. It's based on Stephen King's 1977 novel. The film stars Jack Nicholson as Jack Torrance, a writer and recovering alcoholic who becomes the off-season caretaker of the Overlook Hotel. I didn't really go into too much, or I don't think I really mentioned it at all in the movie background, but I found it interesting. Diane Johnson, I found she hated Stephen King's novel.
Really?
Yeah. She called it pretentious and stuff and stupid.
So then she co-wrote it with him.
With Kubrick.
Oh, the movie.
The movie. I just thought that was an interesting fact. She was just like, no.
Well, then he like famously hate it too.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, so I'm sensing some romantic tension.
Oh, is that what it is?
No, I'm kidding.
I know. So his son, Danny, played by Danny Lloyd, possesses psychic abilities, which he learns about from the hotel's head chef, Dick Halloran, portrayed by Scatman Crothers. As the family becomes snowbound in the Colorado Rockies, Jack's sanity deteriorates under the influence of the hotel, posing mortal danger to Danny and his wife, Wendy, played by Shelley Duvall.
What else is Shelley Duvall in? I know the name.
I know she's in Popeye.
Oh, okay.
So regarded as one of the best horror films of all time, The Shining was recognized for preservation in the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress in 2018. The film's success led to a sequel titled Dr. Sleep, based on King's 2013 novel of the same name, which was adapted to film and released in 2019. During the filming of The Shining, Kubrick famously pushed Duvall to her limits, particularly in the scene where she walked backwards up the stairs with a baseball bat before the attack of her husband. It's been reported that Duvall was genuinely terrified during the multiple retakes, with Kubrick demanding the shot be repeated 127 times, which was a record in cinema history.
Damn.
I was watching an interview with her actually on YouTube, and she mentioned how many times she was doing it, that it was just like second nature to her. Also, there's clips. When they say pushed her, that was like saying it lightly. They treated her like shit, degraded her, and they propped up Jack Nicholson because they really wanted to like make Shelley Duvall break down,
like feel like she was outcasted in this.
And they made Jack Nicholson, they praised him and called him like amazing all the time.
Oh,
which is bullshit because they're actors, so they don't need outside influence to do their job. Like it,
I don't know when. That didn't stop soon enough, you know. You hear about all these crazy stories about pushing actresses, especially actresses.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. There's a clip specifically when Wendy's leaving the front. It's towards the end in the climax. She's like trying to leave the door and Kubrick's like yelling at her. He's like, we're all freezing out here and we're waiting on you. And then Shelley was just saying, like, they tell me one thing and then I do the other and they're yelling. And then she's like, had enough. It was like,
jeez, terrible. I'm surprised she stayed because, you know, 127 times to do one clip that you know by heart and everything. No.
Yeah. And it's that scene, you know, when she's going upstairs crying, sobbing, swinging.
It's an intense scene. Yeah.
Imagine doing that 127 times.
No. It is a long one, too, because, you know, like every time she takes a step up, she swings the bat. Every time she takes another step up, she swings the bat both ways.
Yeah.
Oh, just no.
She also, I didn't write it down, but I learned she was nominated for a Razzie. Do you know anything about Razzies?
They're when films are bad or actors are bad.
Yeah. She was nominated for a Razzie for worst acting.
In this?
Yes.
Oh, I actually really liked her in this. I didn't like the kid or him. So.
I think it was, like, taken back, like, later.
Oh, but I thought she did great. She's basically the person you root for, really.
Exactly.
The kid's all possessed, and the dad's
the kid's all possessed.
Fucked up, so who else are you going to root for?
Exactly. I feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
Shelley Duvall as a person, but also Wendy the character.
Right.
But very interesting. So Stephen King expressed disappointment that some of the themes from the novel, such as a disintegration of family and the dangers of alcoholism, were less prominent in the film. In an interview with the BBC, King criticized Duvall's character, stating that she was portrayed as basically just there to scream and be stupid, which he felt didn't align with the strong and independent woman he had written about. However, Kubrick's portrayal of Wendy as enduring the personality of Jack Torrance represented a different vision of the character. Speaking about the theme of the film, Kubrick stated that there's something inherently wrong with the human personality. There's an evil side to it. One of the things that horror stories can do to show us the archetypes of the unconscious. We can see the dark side without having to confront it directly.
Side note, though, I did think that Wendy was very independent. I mean...
In the movie?
Yeah, like, her husband is kind of a distant force even in the very beginning. Like, he doesn't seem like he wants to talk to her, and...
Yeah, he sucks.
So it kind of seems like she's playing single mom all the time, mm-hmm. and I guess I would criticize the way she behaved about Danny getting hurt and explaining that to the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
It was a little strange. Kinda... But also, I was like, this is a horror movie, so I'm kind of expecting those kind of quirks.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, The Shining has 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, with the critic consensus stating, though it deviates from Stephen King's novel, Stanley Kubrick's The Shining is a chilling, often baroque journey into madness, exemplified by an unforgettable turn from Jack Nicholson. So there we go.
Just keep on praising him, huh?
Just keep on praising. Interestingly enough, it didn't do so great. Well, the critic response wasn't so great when it first came out. They're like, eh, it's all right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's like such a popular
or important film. Yeah, it's a real staple. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Like, you guys even gave me the Danny Torrance pop figure, remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I have him in my computer room.
Danny isn't here right now, Mrs. Torrance.
No! Tony, stop it!
Just the fact that he keeps saying he lives in my mouth. Like, oh, just say he's your imaginary friend.
Right. Or you're like your head. Like, that'd be better. Not your mouth.
Right.
Not the mouth.
He hides in my stomach. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Bro, what? Are you full? Like, what's going on?
Right. Are you ready for the plot?
Yes.
Writer Jack Torrance takes a winter caretaker position at the remote Overlook Hotel in the Colorado Rocky Mountains, which closes every winter season. After his arrival, manager Stuart Ullman warns that some people don't do well in isolation, and that a previous caretaker, Charles Grady, killed his wife, two young daughters, and himself in the hotel a decade prior. To be more specific, he chopped them up with an axe and stacked them, and then shot himself.
Yeah. But real quick, was his name Charles Grady? I thought he had a different first name. One second. Delbert Grady.
Delbert Grady? I wonder why they have Charles.
Let me double check. Also known as Charles Grady. Okay. I guess he has both names. Oh. I remember it being Delbert. That's why I was like.
Oh, okay.
Wait, I'm confused about the Delbert and Charles Grady. I hear people referring to them as Delbert or Charles. Sorry. Now I'm.
Going down a hole.
It's just one of the many spooky inconsistencies in the hotel that gives the film a dreamy quality.
Maybe it's because Jack Torrance is technically him.
I don't know.
I don't know why.
I don't think I ever realized. I always heard Delbert, but Charles, that makes sense. Delbert.
Delbert.
Delbert Charles.
Delbert, I was like, Charles, Charles, Delbert. Same person.
Same person. Sorry.
It's okay. I just remember I put the captions on and I was like, whose name? Because I know this will be important. And I rewound.
Oh, interesting. Well, anyways, Charles Delbert. Grady.
Jack insists that the peace and quiet will be perfect for his writing and his family. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're like, okay, you sure? Bye.
I'm curious. Do you think you could do this job or fare well with it?
I mean, when I watch like the mom and son playing and stuff like that, having a great time, that I think I could do. But for several months, is a very long time to be away from people. And like, you can hear her desperation. Like when she makes that phone call, mm-hmm. like the phone lines go down eventually because of the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And she uses a little radio, like mm-hmm. over and out kind of radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to talk to some station. And you could hear how desperate she is to talk to someone. She's like, that's not 5 years old. Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you thinking about? What you do today?
Quite a storm.
What was for lunch? Spill the tea. What's going on out there?
Yeah, especially if you don't have a partner that's supportive about talking with you and everything. Like, he does not seem like the right person to be stranded somewhere like that for a long time.
Yeah, so. No, I did not.
Even before he was all bananas.
I know. He was bananas before he started. Now he was just like triple bananas. He was a whole bunch of bananas.
He's bananas and cream now.
Yummy.
So in Boulder, Jack's son, Danny, has a premonition of the hotel's hall running with blood that culminates in him having a seizure. Jack's wife, Wendy, tells the doctor about a past incident when Jack accidentally dislocated Danny's shoulder during a drunken rage. And she's just like, yeah, it happened the one time, but he swore he wouldn't do it. And you know, he's been sober for 6 months. I'm like, that's not a real long time.
I know.
Yeah, no, that's not, like, good. I'm glad, but no. Like, but, and she kind of said it with, like, a nonchalant list. Like, yeah, I don't let him talk to the child anymore, but we all live together. Like,
I know. You could tell that she doesn't quite believe in what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, she's, like, trying to reassure herself.
Yeah, kind of. So she assures that Jack has been sober ever since. And Danny himself is coped by talking to an imaginary friend named Tony, who lives in his mouth and hides in his stomach when people talk to him.
Fucking Tony. I don't know how I feel about Tony.
Tony is odd. But yeah, Tony helps him see things. And Tony and the premonitions are tied together for some reason. Don't ask me why.
Unclear.
Right. Before leaving for the seasonal break, the Overlook's head chef, DeCalloran, informs Danny of a telepathic ability the two share, which he calls Shining.
That's the movie title.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they said the thing.
They did. They said it so soon.
We're ready to go.
We had 2 more hours of movie left. Halloran tells Danny that the hotel also has a shine due to residue from unpleasant past events and warns him to avoid room 237.
Bitch. Okay, so here's the thing. There are so many rooms in this hotel. Like, he could have just not said that.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
this boy would have never found it. Yeah.
Unless he went room to room. What are the... well, although...
it did open and
called him. I was going to say, he does have that ability. So I'm sure that room is, like, stronger in that. So he probably would have.
Yeah, I guess.
Now that I say it out loud, probably it was for the best that he said it. But yeah, it's one of those things, like, he's going to go in there regardless. Because right. You tell a kid not to do something.
Oh, for sure. That just makes it more interesting, more mysterious. They got to go.
Yeah. So outside of somehow locking the door,
yeah,
barricading
they
it.
They should have just locked it. Like, any room.
It was locked, though.
Oh, it got unlocked? And that's unlocked. Okay. I thought it just opened.
No, it was locked.
Because I thought, like, they were pretty much free to use the whole hotel how they wanted, so everything was unlocked. I kind of saw it that
way. Yeah, well, so I don't know if they just locked that room specifically, but it was, because he tried to open it at one point, and it was like, couldn't do it. But yeah, because the other rooms are open, because he did the, what's his face, Ullman. He was like, oh, when he was talking about their apartment. Mm-hmm. In the hotel, he's like, well, if you want more space, there's a million other rooms you could go to. So.
Yeah, for sure. And they kind of just use the space as like a huge house.
Yeah.
I feel like it was Halloran's bad to say, like, yeah, don't go in there. But it was also his bad not to tell him what was in there. Maybe he would have stayed away if he had known exactly what was happening.
A scary, decayed, naked woman will try to attack you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would not go in there.
Nah. I'd be like, oh, so if I don't go in that room, that won't happen. And he'll be like, yeah. And I'd be like, cool.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I won't even go down that hallway.
There's
so much more hotel.
There's so much more hotel.
Like, I don't need that in my life.
Just the fact that it's only in one room is kind of bananas.
That is also bananas.
This whole thing, mostly banana.
But that is a lot of bananas.
Because at one point... after Jack starts to get really bad, like crazy, I was like, so, I mean, technically, if she just keeps him locked in the pantry, they could just keep going until the summer season starts. And nothing bad might happen, really, because it's just them.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the ghosts are kind of working against that.
Yeah.
Eh.
But...
mostly bananas.
But mostly bananas. Banoon.
So a month passes and Danny starts having frightening visions, including the murdered Grady twins. Yeah, so he sees them in the hallway and they're like, come play with us. And it flashes and then you see like just their dead bodies laying in blood. So that's interesting.
Just their dead bodies. They're mutilated, chopped up.
Mm-hmm.
Dead bodies.
Yeah. I think a 5-year-old is prepared for that. Meanwhile, Jack's mental health deteriorates. He suffers from writer's block, is prone to violent outbursts, and has dreams of killing his family.
The huge.
Yeah, you know. For sure.
It's one of those things like, don't say that out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a private thing. Especially when you're weird like him. And like I said, this man is just not like normal. Like you don't see him like he doesn't talk warmly with his wife or child at any point. He always seems like he's annoyed by them. Even when they're like driving down there, like Danny says something like, I'm hungry. And he's like, well, you should have ate your breakfast. And like,
you little shit.
Kind of. Like, he always kind of looks and talks at them like he's about to throw them from a car.
just off, opens the door and off the mountain.
Just yeah. Like, I just need to get to this job in my writing. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So Danny gets lured to room 237 by unseen forces, and Wendy later finds him with signs of physical trauma.
No.
Jack investigates and encounters a young female ghost in the room that becomes a decaying old woman, but ultimately blames Danny for inflicting the bruises on himself. Yeah, bitch. He didn't seem suspicious at all.
He knew, but he was just, for whatever reason, lying.
Yeah.
Like, what the, that part,
Yeah, I still don't understand, like, why Danny is to blame out of all people, but...
This is poor 5-year-old kid.
Right. Like, if anything, Wendy bothers Jack more constantly, yeah. Honestly. And I mean, not in, like, a annoying, really wife way, just kind of like a normal, like, hey, honey, want a sandwich? And he's like, no, why are you talking to me? Like,
I have to write, you idiot.
Right.
God, I just feel so bad for Wendy the whole time. And she like takes it. She's like, oh, okay, that's fine. While he's like berating her.
I know.
I'm like, no, ma'am.
Nah.
No.
Girl, don't. You deserve better.
She does. Mm-hmm. And kind of back to when we were talking about the movie background, I do see, I mean, yeah, she cries and screams and kind of runs around a lot, but she ultimately like gets it together and you know, and
saves her kid. Yeah. Honestly. Like, and plus, like, she's in a very trying situation.
Yeah. She's literally all alone.
Mm-hmm.
Boarded up in a haunted, malevolent hotel with her psycho husband.
Right.
Who goes crazy.
Yes.
Like,
it's not exactly like a chill day.
She does better than I would, probably.
Right.
I would just be in the corner crying. Right. She's like running around with a knife ready to go.
I will say I did laugh about that, but I'll talk about it when it gets there.
But anyways, I'm just a Wendy defender. I'm like,
I think that's completely valid. Yeah,
thank you, Queen Wendy deserved so much better.
Right, and on the opposite end too, I feel like Danny says like two words to his dad the whole time, like, and unless like Jack like seeks him out, like the one time he holds him on the bed, and it seemed weird too at the time too. Yeah. But anytime they talk, Jack's always said something to him. It's not like he's come and sought Jack out to talk to him. So
I mean, they probably have a strained relationship
at the very least. Yes, but obviously Danny has learned his lesson previously, and just like, don't talk to Dad. He's fucking crazy.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, Jack is always like, yeah, it's Danny's fault. He's the liar.
Blaming a 5-year-old. Right. What a man.
Yeah. What a man. What a man. What a man. What a man. What a mighty good man. Them on set.
That was Stanley Kubrick in the background. Yeah. What a man. What a man. Meanwhile, Shelley Duvall's crying.
They're legitimately. Like, shut up, you stupid bitch.
Oh my God.
Jesus. I hope not, but yeah, probably was like that.
Probably.
Jack is enticed back to drinking by the ghostly bartender, Lloyd. And I thought...
Fucking Lloyd.
Yeah. And I heard about this ghost bartender thing, but I thought he was there from the beginning. And Jack thought, like, this was just someone that stayed behind to be their bartender for some reason.
Oh, okay.
So when he just showed up all of a sudden, I was like, I wonder how long this has been going on. But I guess it's just new and he's accepted it.
Like, yeah.
It's He's just how he is now.
He's a bananas. So, not questioning it. Plus, I mean, the movie doesn't really make it clear, like, what.
If this has been his experience the whole time.
That, but also, like, is this a ghost or is it in his mind? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
true.
I mean, obviously, there's some actual paranormal stuff because Wendy sees stuff happening, too.
Yeah.
But also, some of the things you could maybe be like, is this just Jack?
Right.
Or are they actually all ghosts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really make it clear, but I think it's up to, like, an interpretation. I usually just go with, like, they're all ghosts.
That's
just usually my go-to. But you could look at it through that way, too.
Right. There is a difference, though. Like, the way Wendy sees them is different than how Jack sees them as, like, talking people. Like, Wendy sees, like, skeletons and stuff.
Yeah.
He does. And weird people.
Yeah. She does see some humans.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's enticed back to drinking by the ghostly bartender, Lloyd, and ghostly figures, including, now they have it as Delbert.
Yeah.
Delbert, a.k.a. Charles, a.k.a. Delbert Grady,
yeah.
Then begin appearing in the gold room. When Jack points out that Grady was the former caretaker here, he corrects him and says that Jack's always been the caretaker here. And he's like, I would remember. I've been here the whole time.
Right.
And which we're is like, what?
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Mm hmm.
I don't know what that means. What do you mean? Right. No.
Like, no, it was not, you.
It was you.
Yeah, I remember. It was you. Grady informs Jack that Danny has telepathically connected Halloran for assistance and says that Jack must correct his wife and child.
This bitch.
Right.
And he's...
Jack's like, yeah, I guess I should. Guess I should really get to that. Like, what do you mean?
What do you... Death.
Yeah. Death. Well, we all know what he means.
We all know what he means. Oh, my God. I hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
Wendy finds Jack's manuscripts written with nothing but countless repetitions of all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
I'd be so pissed too.
Like the when he berated her for like ruining his concentration, I'm like, you wrote the same thing 700 times.
Right. More than that.
Really? And it's just like every format that a page can take in a book mm-hmm. is just all Jack, you know, all play and all work. I'll play and no work makes Jack's a dull boy.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I got it. It's just every page layout that you could in a book is just all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy over and over again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
How fun.
I mean, at least he formatted it correctly for his book, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, each page is a different... You never know what you're going to get. You'll know what words you're going to get, but you won't know what shape it'll come in.
Right, so, they come in all shapes.
There was a diamond, there was some, like, offset
ones,
like a sine wave. It's great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Good book.
When Jack threatens her life, Wendy knocks him unconscious with a baseball bat and locks him in the kitchen pantry. And I thought that was nice because snacks. Like I was like, he's just sitting with Oreos. I mean, that's not a bad time.
I know we touched upon this scene. This is the scene we were talking about. Mm-hmm. But like, it wasn't just like a dunk on the head. She like, bam. Oh,
she cracked his head.
And also, like, just the things he was saying to her was so scary.
Uh-huh.
It's just about how he's going. Kill her and
like smash her brains in.
Yes.
And so, yeah. I was like,
stop it.
I don't know if you would have just stopped at a crack on the head, honestly, after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like
the patience of this woman to kindly take his body and leave him with all the snacks.
That's what I'm saying. Like she was just saying, get away from me.
Right.
I would have been actively attacking him at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me? What did you?
And I mean, she gave him like 50 chances where she swung the bat at him where
every
she
stare.
Didn't. She didn't hit him.
No. And then he, oh, God. Anyways.
For sure.
That part, like, gives me chills. I'm mm-hmm. just like, oh, I hate it.
Yeah. But she and Danny cannot leave due to Jack having previously sabotaged the hotel's two-way radio and Snowcat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So beforehand, she had used the radio. And like I said, she was isolated. So she sounded desperate to talk to anybody. But she had used it because the phone lines were down because the winter storm is getting worse.
Yeah. And no good.
Good, no good. Back in their hotel room, Danny, seemingly possessed, says Red Rum repeatedly and writes the word in lipstick on the bathroom door. And Charlie's like, did they ever tell you what Red Rum is? And I was like, yeah, I think it was kind of clear what Red Rum was. But then they showed us with the mirror that it was that was murder.
Oh, did Charlie not realize that?
Well, I think he just didn't remember that that was it. So then when he asked me, because he hadn't watched it with me. So he was like, did they ever tell you?
Yeah.
Like he was going to give me a cute little factoid. Like it was murder all along.
Yeah, we saw it in the movie. They show you. Did you guess that before they showed the reflection that it was murder backwards or?
No, but once I saw the reflection, I was like, obviously.
But I didn't know if you like.
I didn't really piece it together because at first it sounded so weird when the kid was saying it like red rum. Mm-hmm. I was like, is he saying a name in a weird way?
Red
He's saying it so quickly.
Yeah. And weird voice, too.
Mm-hmm. I was like, does your voice hurt? Like,
oh, yeah, probably, for sure.
Wendy sees the word in the mirror and realizes that it's actually murder, spelled backwards.
My God, what does it mean? Murder.
Jack is freed by Grady and goes after Wendy and Danny with an axe.
This bitch lets him out. This ghost lets him out of the pantry.
I was like, how is that fair?
Right. This whole hotel is on Jack's side. Like, excuse me.
What a man. What a man.
What a madagum, man.
Danny escapes outside through the bathroom window, and Wendy fights Jack off with a knife when he tries to break through the door. And I have to say, this is the only time I was like, okay, Wendy, get it together. She was running with a knife. And I mean, she ran upstairs. She ran in, like, you know, multiple floors. But she always kept her elbows, like, up to shoulder level, like, the whole time. Like, ah! Like, with the knife. And she was like, you're going to hit yourself.
She was ready to strike at anyone. She was like a praying mantis. You know how they put their arms up?
Yeah. She's
like, you never
like,
know.
Kind of like as if she was being forced to run by, like, a marionette, kind of like a puppet.
Yeah, she was all over the place. But you know what? Bless her endurance. Because yeah. she just kept going.
I was really surprised when they chose to hide outside. I was like, we don't really have to do that. There's a lot of places to hide inside.
I'm like, pick one spot.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they were SOL because one of the ghosts would have told them, like,
right.
Jack, where they were.
Yeah, like, it did seem pretty instantaneous it did go pretty quickly from him beating in the door where she's locked in herself in the bathroom mm-hmm. to him being, like, instantly in the kitchen as if, like, almost as if he's a ghost and right. you just showed up there.
Yeah.
Because you didn't even see him travel from spot to spot. He's just all of a sudden, like, almost hot on Danny's tail.
Right. Like, hi. He knows. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Halloran having flown back to Colorado from his Florida vacation to respond to Danny's telepathic SOS reaches the hotel in another snowcat. This poor man. I was like, is it really, though, your job to go and check on the people in the middle of the winter and see, you know, hope they don't kill themselves?
No, but he knows what's happening.
Like, right. I guess so. But it almost felt like this is just something he does every year. The way he was like, I got to get up there.
I don't know. I personally wouldn't think that. I just feel like because Danny has the shine like mm-hmm. he does, like I don't think he would otherwise because he didn't have that connection. He wouldn't have known.
Yeah. I know he was kind of telling the other guy that he had the snow cat from mm-hmm. that, you know, like it turns out that they're a bunch of imbeciles or something like that because they haven't connected with us or whatever.
Yeah. Well, he was just saying
that. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of did sound like this was maybe a routine he did.
Oh.
I don't know. I think you could probably see it both ways, but
yeah. I just think he went because he got
Danny's, I guess so.
Danny's cry for help.
Yes.
Which.
Fair.
Yeah. Ends really soon.
Yeah. I felt so bad. He did so much and he came from Florida all the way to drive in there and just get murdered.
Right. Immediately.
Right. As soon as he gets inside, he's like, hello, hello, Jack's. Jack instantly kills him with an axe.
I know. And you think, and I don't know if that's, I go back and forth because it seems like he's going to be more of a character once he gets there, like mm-hmm. saves them kind of a thing. But he immediately dies.
It's like a real drawn out journey just to find out that yeah. he's going to not make it at all.
It kind of like pulls the rug out from under you. And I can't decide if I like that or don't.
I think it's to make the audience feel even more hopeless as well as them, you know?
Because you think he's going to come rescue.
And save the day. He knows what's going on. Like, and
nah. Come on. JK, yeah. I'm dead now. Bye.
Right.
That sucks so much.
Yeah. As soon as he arrives, Jack ambushes and murders him in the lobby. And then after he's broken down the door in their apartment suite or whatever in to try to get to Wendy, he's decided, I'm going to go chase Danny now.
Yeah.
Because he's slipped out the window and crawled back into the hotel. Well, no. He slipped out the window, slid down a snow hill, and went into this huge maze that they have outside,
mm-hmm.
which when they went in it during, like, you know, before everything went to shit,
mm-hmm.
I was like, don't go in there.
Don't do it.
The whole time I'm watching them walk, I'm like, you're getting lost. You're getting lost.
And then they're in the middle. And then they're like, you're as lost as you could be.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, it's so beautiful. And I was like, you're lost. You're lost the whole time. And then they just cut back and they're like, just a nice day in the maze.
Yeah. I would go in there.
No, I didn't.
Just follow the if you just follow the left, you'll get out.
Really? Is that the rule?
Any maze. Yeah. If you just follow left, you'll make it out.
Oh, weird. I never knew that.
Yeah. Just put your hand on the wall.
Oh, I would have fucked myself for good.
Stephanie's been in there for 562 days. I hope someone brought her snacks.
Right? Yeah, no, I didn't know about the whole left thing. So, yeah. Okay. Well, I guess that's probably how they got out. Wendy runs through the hotel looking for Danny, encountering the hotel's ghost and a vision of cascading blood similar to Danny's premonition.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ew.
And in the hedge maze, Which I find funny, too, like, because at this point, ever since Danny's been attacked, he's been talking as Tony and keeps on saying, you know, Danny's not here, Mrs. Torrance. And it's me. And now that he's being chased by his psychopathic dad, that's when Tony's like, nah, I think Danny can take it.
No, that was Tony just hauling ass through that maze.
You think so?
No, I don't think so. Because
he said mommy and stuff, and he sounded more like Danny. So that's why I was like, it has to be.
I think
he
snapped out of it. It's very unclear when Tony.
I think Tony was like, well, psych, gotta go.
Never fucking mind, man. You have to deal with this yourself. I'm going back in your belly.
Right. Not worth it.
Is not.
Mm-hmm. So in the hedge maze, Danny misleads Jack and hides behind a snowdrift while Jack follows a false trail. Danny and Wendy reunite and leave in Halloran's snowcat, leaving Jack to freeze to death in the maze
dead
with
a
silly face. In a photograph in the hotel hallway, Jack is pictured standing amidst a crowd of party revelers from July 4th, 1921.
That part always confused me. I'm like, what does that mean? What does it mean?
It was Jack all along. I guess that Jack is Grady, that Grady is Jack, that he's always been there, I guess, is what they're trying to say.
What does it mean? I just
don't understand how he connected with a family outside of there to get them there.
I don't know.
Maybe it's better explained in the book, and that was why, you know.
If that's even in the book.
Stephen King
so
was
different.
Upset. Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
In the book, I remember that. So I didn't read the book, but they did a mini series that's almost verbatim the book.
Mm.
And there's like lion hedge mazes or hedge sculptures that come to life and like bees. It's more like fantastical as opposed to like that. And even, spoiler alert for the book, I guess, in the mini series. At the end, I'm fairly certain that the hotel explodes and Jack actually has a moment of clarity and he like snaps out of it and he like saves the day or something. He like makes it explode somehow, but like snaps out of it.
He saves Danny and the mom.
Yeah, something like that. But in any case, I don't even know if that's in the book, but it was very confusing. I'm like, oh,
what do you think the picture means then?
Like, I don't know. A part of me is like, is his soul like in the, is that just a representation that his soul is now part of the hotel?
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Cause I don't know.
Maybe he's a reincarnation.
I thought maybe
no matter what kind of life he lives outside of it, he will always culminate with coming back to this hotel.
That's what I was thinking.
To die.
That he looks like one of, I don't want to say, I guess ancestors.
Yeah.
Like
the crazy thing is they kept on zooming in on his face and I'm like, I can clearly see it's him. I can see it's him.
Yeah, that's him. Just keeps on.
Yeah,
keeps
this
on,
is definitely on. Him.
But yeah, I don't know. I didn't really look if there's a definitive answer or anything, but fun to speculate, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. But. Interesting. Yeah, I guess I want to go with the whole like I think his soul can just never leave, so even if it does get out to find another body,
he's
just doomed to come back.
That's six.
Yeah.
Well, are you ready to hear about the Stanley Hotel?
Yeah. It's a real place.
Yes. So
it is pretty if it's what it was where it was filmed. Is that?
No. Oh, that was a different place.
That place is pretty.
Yeah. A lot of it was a set and they did film at a different hotel for some scenes. But the real Stanley is in Colorado, so I'm sure like the outside is similar in the mountains and stuff. But yes, the Stanley Hotel is what inspired Stephen King to write The Shining. So I got my information from two articles, one being Creepy Colorado, The Haunting History of the Stanley Hotel, and then an article from Legends of America. So it starts by saying Stephen King and his family stumbled upon the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park. It's Estes. So however you pronounce that.
Estes.
Estes Park.
Maybe.
Seeking refuge from the frigid weather one snowy night. The hotel, lacking proper winter heating, was on the verge of closing for the season, and the Kings checked in as the only guests with limited staff. The eerie atmosphere and paranormal history of the hotel inspired King to create his third and most, and arguably, one of his most popular novels, The Shining.
Hmm.
The Stanley Hotel has hosted many famous guests, including the unsinkable Molly Brown from the Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
John Philip Sousa, Theodore Roosevelt, the Emperor and Empress of Japan, and a variety of Hollywood personalities.
Oh, okay. So what they were saying in the very beginning was true. Like, they were taking a tour, and they said that, like, has royalty been here? And he's like, yeah, only the best.
Yeah.
Huh.
According to the article, at least. So the popularity of the novel and the lore of the hauntings have led to a significant tourism industry for the Stanley Hotel. The hotel capitalizes on its association with The Shining, playing the film on a continuous loop in guest rooms and displaying a collection of King's novels in the ghost tour room. However, the hotel's mysterious and haunted history predates its fame.
I mean, I would want to stay, but I don't need The Shining to be playing the whole time because, like, I don't
probably turn it off.
Like, like, yeah, let people go to a viewing of it or something like that. But don't play it in my room. Like I just need to constantly know what we're doing here.
Playing on every single room all the time, but it's available probably.
Oh, yeah.
So Freeland Oscar Stanley built the Stanley Hotel in 1909, marking the beginning of a century of mysterious and eerie happenings. Just 2 years after its opening, a thunderstorm wiped out all the power in the hotel, leading to a significant incident in room 217. A housekeeper's encounter with gas lamps resulted in an explosion, propelling Elizabeth Wilson through the floor into the McGregor dining room below. Despite the explosion, the housekeeper survived, but reports of her ghost still residing in the hotel, particularly in room 217, have persisted. The hotel has become known for its spiritual activity, with most hauntings occurring on the fourth floor. Room 428 is notable for the presence of a friendly cowboy, and the grand staircase in the lobby is a common sight for apparitions. Guests have reported capturing strange figures in photographs taken within the hotel. Room 418 gets the most reports of a haunting activity, apparently from children's spirits. Cleaning crews report having heard many strange noises from the room, as well as seeing impressions on the bed when the bed has been empty. When guests stay in the room, they often report that they hear children playing in the hallway at night.
Mm.
Children ghosts are the worst ghosts.
I know, right?
No.
Because you never know.
Could be a demon.
They are children.
No, don't. You see a ghost of a child, assume the worst.
Don't help them.
They already did. It's over.
They can find the light on their own.
Yeah, Caroline. Allegedly, even Stephen King witnessed the child who was calling out for his nanny on the second floor. Former employees have also described experiencing unexplained footsteps and seeing apparitions in various areas of the hotel. So the Legends of America website stated, the most notable haunting is F.O. Stanley himself, who is most often seen in the lobby and the billiard room, which was his favorite room when he was still alive. On one such occasion, he was said to have appeared during a tour group's visit of the billiard room, materializing behind a member of the tour. Bartenders at the old hotel also reported having seen F.O. stroll through the bar, disappearing when they tried to cut him off at the kitchen.
Sir, stop.
Yeah, what are you doing? You're dead. Go away.
Stop putting the ghost stuff in the kitchen.
Yeah. So the Stanley Hotel offers various ways to experience its superstitions, including Twin Terror Weekends in October, Murder Mystery Dinners, The Shining Ball, and the Halloween Masquerade Party. Additionally, nightly ghost tours explore the dark history surrounding the hotel.
Ooh.
I kind of want to go.
Yeah, let's go to the Masquerade.
Do you want to?
That'd be so fun. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
We should go.
Yeah, let's look it up.
Yeah.
13 Degrees of Screams presents Stanley Hotel Masquerade Party.
Masquerade. Bush fishes on parade. That's Phantom. But
okay. I'd be interested in the Shining Ball, too.
But also
Murder Mystery Dinner. All of it sounds cool.
We should just stay for like a long weekend and do a lot of activities.
Let's go in room 217.
Yeah. Okay.
I think 217 was like the parallel to that room from the movie. Because that's the room Stephen King stayed in.
Right.
So I think that's like the parallel.
Yeah, that sounds right.
But yeah, those are just some of the spooky things that happen at the Stanley Hotel.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm tempted.
It's scary. Let's look it up.
Okay. Maybe we can partner with our friendly podcast, BTB, and see if they want to go for next Halloween.
Just plugging them.
Yeah.
Maybe we can go see with BTB.
With their Patreon money.
Thank you for listening. If you joined the show and listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, giving us a 5-star rating is super helpful, and we will always appreciate it.
You can find us on social media using 13 Degrees of Screams.
This has been 13 Degrees of Screams, and we will see you next week.
And it's shiny like an ocean and a da 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 da. Scrub the deck and make it look shiny. I will sparkle like a wealthy woman's neck.
What the heck is this?
It's from Moana.
Oh, okay. I have no idea.